Hi, everybody. I'm Brandon Sewell, owner of Seal Pro Painting and the host of the Off the Ladder podcast. We exist to help home service business owners learn so that they can lead well and ultimately live life off of the ladder. I'm excited about today's guest. I have Pastor Chris Johnson. And let me read a little bit about him really quick. Chris Johnson is a passionate follower of Jesus, a devoted husband and father, pastor, business owner, and a musician. He is a lifelong Central Florida native and is passionate about serving and encouraging others. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much, Brandon. It is an honor to be here, and welcome to everybody here who's joined in with this podcast today.
Awesome. You know, Chris, I wanted to have you on here as we talked about before the show. You know, I'm open about my faith as far as with this podcast. And I'm trying to bring biblical perspective to being a business owner for home service business owners that are out there. And, you know, I think one of the most important things in life is not just our business, but is our families, you know, our marriages, our, you know, those things that, you know, really motivate me as a business owner. But I think what can happen is as we have these businesses, we can feel the pressure of all of the demands of customers and, you know, the financial side of the business. And then we feel this pressure to like run after the business, and we can even be ambitious in that pursuit. Then unfortunately, the thing that is, you know, motivating us, our why, gets pushed to the side. And that's like our marriages, our kids and things like that. So the reason why I wanted to have you on here is to help bring some advice on, you know, having a healthy marriage, having, you know, raising kids that love the Lord, that are serving him, that are, you know, serving their community, and, you know, just dive into some of those topics. And I thought you'd be great to have on here and talk about that.
Man, I'm super honored. And, you know, I've done a few things well by the grace of God, and I've done a few things not so well by the strength of my own wisdom. And I'm happy to share, you know, triumphs and tragedies and all of that stuff if it could encourage somebody. And I think what's unique about maybe what I could bring to your podcast is the spiritual emphasis of things, right? And what scripture teaches us about how to live well, how to prioritize, you know, our relationship with God, our marriage, our family, and keep things in the right order. Because I think most business owners are, they're high achievers. They have high drive, high ambition, and we want to do a great job for people that we get to serve, but it's hard to do it all well. And it's hard to necessarily navigate the balance between it. So I'll offer some stuff that's worked for me and maybe some stuff that's not worked for me. And hopefully it'll encourage somebody.
Sure. Now, you know, just kind of going back into like your background, I actually met you when I think I was like 16, maybe. You were the worship pastor at East Coast. And are you still there as the worship pastor?
I am sitting in the parking lot right now of East Coast Christian Center. It's my quiet space and my cabin and my car here, and, you know, distraction free zone. Still there. I've been on staff for 22 and a half years, almost 23. And I served as a volunteer here for about 6 or 7 years before that.
Awesome. Yeah. So I met you as a young teenager, and, you know, was always just, you know, looking up to you. I was inspired by you serving God, and, you know, have seen your family grow, have seen it, you know, your kids grow up and serve God. And, you know, I see Aiden, he just looks like he's such a amazing young man who loves God and is, you know, serving and serving the local church. And that's awesome. It's encouraging to me because, you know, I'm, you know, just growing my family. You know, we have a 3-year-old and we have a baby due pretty much any day. Nice. First little girl. So excited about that. And it's always like heavy on my heart to be, you know, a great father to my kids, to be a great husband, and really to cover the home front, right? And not to let my ambition for what I want to do in business to like cause me to stumble in those areas. Yes. Can you speak a little bit, you know, about things that you've done to foster a great marriage? with your spouse, and that's Leanne. And just talk about that. Talk about things that have been, you know, key for you to, you know, just grow a healthy marriage and to have a strong marriage over all these years. Because I think you guys even met in the youth group that I was a part of, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I found so much here at this church. Obviously, my calling, my identity, my salvation to get to enter into a relationship with Jesus. But I found my wife here, which is pretty cool. And we've been married almost 22 years in 2 weeks from today, just about. And we dated for 3 years before then. So, you know, 25 years together. And I will start with a hard story on how I've worked on prioritizing my marriage, because as a pastor, you know, now as a, you know, I own a side business as well. I have made some mistakes and I've learned some things. So I'm going to share a mistake, because I think sometimes when people hear that, like, they're not alone in their struggle and in their shortcomings, it helps.
Yeah.
So good. If you're watching this podcast, you've ever made a mistake with putting work before your marriage, you're in good company, because I've done it, even doing the Lord's work. You know, and if anything, like, you would think a pastor should be able to do the best at this, but we're just people too. And so I remember a time when Leanne was pregnant with our second child. They're 15 months apart. So they're known as Irish twins. They're like super close together. It's like having twins, but harder, because there are two different developmental stages. And I was working a ton at the church. And some of it was because there's a lot of demands, you know, people, they need help. And I love to help, like, as a person who's designed to help people and serve people, it was like, great. I feel needed. I feel valued. There's people who need help. But to the detriment of my marriage, I overextended myself. I was pouring from an empty cup. I was burning out. I was tired. And then I was coming home, really giving my wife leftovers of my energy and my mental focus and my emotional, you know, relatability. And it got to a place where she said, you know, I've asked you to please, you know, stop working so much, come home and pay attention, you know, to the things that I need help with. And it got to the point where I did it so much without making those adjustments that she said to me some really hard words. This was like my aha moment. And she said, I've asked for help. I've asked for you to make these adjustments and you haven't. And I feel like a single mom and I feel so alone and so disconnected. And she said, if you can't adjust this, I think what I'm going to have to do to help you adjust this is to go live in a separate place and to separate. Mm-hmm. Now, we've never said the D word. That's like the word we don't even say, because it's not an option for us. This is a covenant. We believe that God's best design for us is, even in hard times, that we honor our commitment to him and to one another. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. We don't rip it up when it doesn't work for us. So but that word separation, man, it got me. It shook me. And I remember the devastation and the gravity of that moment of going, what have I done that I put my wife in this position? And so, you know, those times call for some real introspection and some adjustment. And I went immediately to Pastor Dan, who was my boss at the time. And I said, I am blowing it at home. I have let my wife down. She feels like a single mom. I'm working 70 plus hours a week at the church, and I can't figure out how to stop and how to set some boundaries. And he goes, well, I'm glad you talked to me, because we're going to help you. And, you know, he basically told me right then and there, you're not going to keep doing that. You're going to set some boundaries. You're going to have to let your perfectionistic nature go, which was one of the things he told me, which I think this can speak to some of us today. Is he said, you have such a drive for excellence and perfection that you spend too long on things. And you could automatically cut your work down by finding ways to refine the process and still get an excellent level of care for people without expending yourself with all, you know, has to be perfect. It has to be your way. He goes, so I'm going to give you three words that are going to be good advice for you, Chris. And he said, let it suck. And I was like, man, that's really good. Let it suck. Like, he goes, and I can tell you this because I know you won't let it suck, but you will know, you'll hear me in your head going, it can't be perfect, but it's going to have to be good enough. And that's all right. And so he began to give me some parameters and some coaching and some mentorship. And I think it's important that we have people a little further along than us that can teach us some things, and mentors. We need fathers, we need mentors, we need teachers. And, you know, he lovingly rebuked me for my perfectionism and for my, you know, workaholism. And really, I was grateful. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs that if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you more, and that a wise man learns from instruction. So thankfully, I learned. That was a day that began to shift everything in my thinking, and I began to go on a mission to go, Lord, help me fix this. I didn't grow up in a household that really taught me this, and not to throw any shade about my parents. They worked really hard, like really long, hard work hours, and that was kind of what I grew up figuring out was normal, and I had to unlearn that, and I had to learn what the Bible teaches. You know, as a pastor, if you're going to be a pastor, it says in the book of First and Second Timothy, like these are the qualifications. You have to be able to lead your own family well. And I was like, man, I got to figure this out. I'm not leading my family well. And so I cried out to God. And the cool news about making a mistake and being a human is the Bible says if you'll humble yourself, he'll exalt you, that he'll give you grace when you're humble. So I think a good starting place to figuring this out is humble yourself and go, I can't figure this out in my own wisdom and strength. God, I need your help. You designed families. When you put Adam and Eve together, you designed this. You designed marriage. So I'm going to consult the designer. I'm going to go to the book. I'm going to read Ephesians 5, where it talks about husbands laying down your life, like Christ laid down his life for the church. To Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yeah, we know that the husband is kind of the head of the house, and the woman should, you know, honor and submit to his leadership in that role. But at the end of the day, we're also mutually submitting to one another. And when my wife told me things were out of balance and I wasn't submitting to her, I needed to repent and go, I need to humble myself and submit to that thought that I'm overextending myself. So I want to start there with my mess and with that aha moment and say, crying out to God for wisdom. He says in the book of James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give you liberally without reproach. God's not going to be like, why are you asking me for wisdom? Flick you in the head. No, he's going to be like, I've been waiting for you to come to me. I've got answers. I'm a father. I'm not just the Lord Almighty, but I'm a father, and I love you, my son, or my daughter. If you're a woman business owner, I love you, my daughter. I want to help you with your marriage. So I think that's the first place I want to start. And then from there's just been a lot of little things over the years that God's just continued to show me and teach me, and good men of God that have given me more wisdom, things, great advice, like let it suck. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let my marriage suck. That cannot happen. And I know that's a strong phrase, but man, my walk with Christ is the most important thing that I cannot let suck. I've got to make sure that I'm connecting with God through prayer, through time with him, through studying scripture, journaling with God. Those are huge things. And then my relationship with Leanne. And what's cool is if those things don't suck, if those things are actually succeeding and they're flourishing, Matthew 6:33 has a promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. One way I've heard it said is master, mate, mission. And most of my dysfunction in life comes when I get those things out of order. Master, he is the master of my life. I want him first. My mate, my spouse, my family, my kids are connected in that. And then my mission, which is my work and my profession. And I get to be a pastor by trade, by profession. And I'm a musician on the side. You know, I have a side business where I perform for restaurants and businesses and weddings and corporate events. But man, that can never take precedence over my walk with my family, and definitely not over my walk with Christ. And so when I start to feel things are getting out of line, it's time for an alignment. And just like you go to the chiropractor when things get out of line, you just go to God and you go, I'm a little bit out of whack. I overextended myself. I did a 60-hour week. Sorry, God, help me fix that. You know, what can I do to streamline? Who do I need to say no to? Because at the end of the day, I'm not saying no to my walk with God, and I'm not saying no to my spouse and my family. They're first and they're priority.
Are you a home service business owner? Do you have a strategic way to get reviews for your business on Google, Facebook, and other platforms? If you don't, then you need to implement NiceJob. Since implementing NiceJob, we have grown our reviews from 10 all the way up to over 60 reviews online in less than a year. If you're interested in using this feature in your business and growing your Google My Business reviews, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up for a free trial of NiceJob. And let me know if you sign up so I can help you to implement it and get a strategy in place with your team to get more reviews so you can start winning on Google and beating out your competition locally. You know, that's so good. I It's funny, as you were saying all of that, it made me think of back. I was probably somewhere in that age of like 16 to 18, and you preached a sermon. I'll never forget it. It was on David, and you talked about just how human he was. Like in the Psalms, he was very real and open about, just being vulnerable. So I love that you started off with being vulnerable, but you also said in that sermon that we're not human doings, we're human beings, right? And so I think some of like I can be very ambitious, which can cause me to like just want to do, like just get stuff done. And I actually have to like pull myself back, and I have to make sure I have my values and my priorities in line. And I constantly have to remind myself, like, why am I doing this? It's because, one, I want to honor God. Two, my family is very important to me. And, that's like why I do things. And, there's a couple of things I wanted to just reemphasize that you pointed out. Like, we're not perfect. And I think in order to grow a business where we can be successful and even scale it, is we have to let go of perfection. Like I found that, I have let go of a lot of responsibilities in my business to make sure that I can have the flexibility and freedom that I have. And it's like, if I, I talk to a lot of guys who have businesses, and they, one of the things that they'll say a lot is, I'm the only one who can do it, or if I don't do it, it's not going to get
Not going to get
done,
done
or
right.
exactly. And that's such a trap, because the reality is like my guys, I hire them and they're very good at what they do, and honestly they do it better than I do, and we have a great reputation as a company. And I get reviews about them all the time where they're just bragging about my employees, and it's like, that's, that's them. They're doing an amazing job, and they're capable and able to do that. So, that does take letting go of like that need to like be perfect. Yes, I have to provide vision, and I have to provide like, hey, this is how we do things, right? But I'm letting go of that. And, I think that's something that holds a lot of guys back. They're so worried about the perfection. If they would just let go, they'd realize like there's guys out there that can do a great job too. And I, one of the things that I think about in my mind is I think about like companies that I look up to. And one that I think about a lot, just because I follow him pretty religiously, for a back of lack of better terms, is Dave Ramsey.
Oh, he's
And
awesome.
so I love Dave Ramsey. I listen to him. I listen to his Entree Leadership podcast. And one of the things that he talks about is like he'll go into a room and they have an app, right, that they have for people who can purchase on the app store to like do budgeting and personal finances and things like that. And obviously that app has to be developed, right? Well, Dave's not a developer, right? He knows finances and he knows leadership, but he doesn't know that. So he has to be willing to speak the vision over, okay, this is what we're going to create. But then he has to trust his employees that have those skills and abilities to take that vision and instruction and create the thing that he's talking about, right? And let go of the control of like, he doesn't have to sit there in the room and watch him do it. And so I think that we can apply that even to like a home service business, whether you're, a general contractor, a handyman, a plumbing contractor, HVAC, the list goes on. But you have to be able to bring on guys, gals that have the skill set that you're looking for, have the ability to do these things, and then trust them to do it. So really love that you said that, not being perfect, it's really important. And then one of the things that I talk to you guys about who come to me for business advice is like the key to your business succeeding is your personal foundations. And it's like if your marriage is struggling, it makes it harder to succeed in business because you're going to be over here worrying about the business while you're coming home and the relationship struggles or marriage struggles are just draining you. And then you can't give your best over here. So it's fighting against you. And so,
Yes.
I think that's why it's so important to have a strong marriage. It's like, I would, I tell guys who ask me for advice, I'm like, well, focus on if you want to start a business, if you want to be successful in a business, focus on your marriage first. Like, how does your spouse feel about this business? How does,
Yes.
she feel about the hours that you work or, whatever? And what boundaries do you have in place? And what are you doing to make sure that those boundaries are set and, lived up to, if that makes sense. And I think there has to be an understanding of like, there's going to be times that might require more of you. Because I know that for me, like there's been times where it's like, hey, I'll sit down with my wife and I'll be like, hey, babe, look, this week, like,
Gonna
I'm
be a
sorry.
doozy
Yeah. But
of
it's like having that communication. And because it's not a every week thing, she has understanding, right? It's like, hey, babe, I'm sorry that we have this deadline. I've got to hit it. This customer is really putting the pressure on us. I need to go work with the guys this week and help knock this project out. So I'm going to be working late or, whatever it is. But there is that understanding, but it's also based on communication. And to be honest with you, if my wife said, I'm not okay with that, I'd be like, I'm going to have to talk to this customer, Hey, look, and another thing is like, I talk to customers about my boundaries. I've had some people may or may not agree with this, but I don't work Saturdays I have some exceptions to that, but I'll have customers that reach out to me, hey, can you come do an estimate this Saturday? And I'm like, I'm sorry, no, that's my family day. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But anyway, so all that to say is like, I think that as you stated, it's just really important to have a strong marriage.
Yeah, I want
Let
to jump in
let
on that if I can. I don't want to interrupt
yeah,
you, but
please.
I think it's super important because I think we all feel that. It's really important that you have your spouse's agreement because let me just share a Bible verse on it, and then I'll just share a practical thought. Is Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. And it says, "How will two walk together unless they are in agreement?" And if your business, whether that's pastoring at the church or running a painting business or whatever that looks like, is driving a wedge of disagreement between you and your spouse, you're not going to be able to walk together for much longer in either direction. You're going to lose the business. You're going to lose your marital connection. You might even lose your whole marriage. And, that's like scary to even think about, but it's important to recognize that. And what I always tell people, Amos 3:3 is a great, I get this analogy of a three-legged race. And you probably remember those when you were in school. I remember them. They would tie my leg up to somebody else. And then our outside leg, we could kind of move whenever we wanted it to, but your middle leg, you have to be in communication and in agreement when you're going to move that middle leg that's tied to each other. Otherwise, you're eating dirt. You're not winning the race. Somebody could get hurt. And when you're running your business, it is important that you have that middle leg of agreement. How many hours are we going to work? When are we not going to work? Like you've already had that discussion. We don't work Saturdays. Friday is a Sabbath for me. It's a day of rest. Even God didn't work 7 days a week. So why would I think I'm smarter and stronger than God to try and work seven? And I used to. So I had, again, one of those mistakes I made. But I think there has to be agreement with our spouse. And then guess what? That three-legged race, we're in that for the long haul. We can go the distance. We'll go the distance in our business. We'll go the distance in our marriage. Look at companies like Chick-fil-A. They've made a stance to say, we believe that it's possible to be successful by working six and resting one. Somehow that's working for them. They're doing okay. And it's scary. You think about what you're saying no to, if you're going to say no to, those bids that are coming in on a Saturday, but what you're saying yes to is so much better and it's going to pay off. And the agreement with your spouse is huge.
Are you a home service business owner that is trying to get off the ladder and work on your business instead of in it? Well, you need a robust CRM that is going to help your business to be more efficient and streamlined so that you can get your time back to focus on things that are going to help your business grow. Now, Jobber is going to help you to manage your client requests, your quotes, your jobs, and your invoicing. You can do everything all in one place and manage everything from start to finish. And not to mention Jobber payments. You don't have to chase around checks, try to go and collect cash, or wait for checks to come in the mail anymore. You can just get paid right on the spot with Jobber payments. If you're interested in implementing Jobber into your business, click on the show notes below and sign up for a free trial of Jobber. That's not it. Reach out to me. I want to help make sure that you maximize everything that Jobber has to offer so that you can get your business growing right away. Thank you so much. And let's get back to the Off the Ladder podcast. Yeah. And I think for me, I've just told, I've like asked myself this, and I've said, you know, what amount of success would be worth losing my marriage? And I'm like, none.
None.
You know, what amount of success would be worth not having a relationship with my son? None. And none. So it's like, I asked myself that question, and I'm like, okay, well, if I can't achieve what I want to, you know, and still have a great marriage and have, you know, be a great father, well, I'm going to choose being a great husband and father over any amount of money or success that I could have. And, yeah. And what I truly believe deep down is that by taking that position, I'll actually be more successful than Absolutely. What I could in my own, because I think it just puts things into proper order, and maybe it won't be in the time that I think it should be, or, you know, whatever, but I think that it'll be done in a healthy way. I'll be able to, I kind of think of it almost like the gym. It's like, I experienced this last year. I was wanting to just go like super hard every single day in the gym. And it was like, the harder I pushed and the more I wanted to like achieve, the more I felt like burnout, worn out. I was like not performing as well the next day, the next week. And I was actually like, felt like I was going down. And so you know, it's funny enough, my wife is actually a trainer. She works in the fitness industry. And I was like, babe, I just feel like I'm overdoing it. She's like, yeah, you need to scale back some, you need to give your body time for rest. You need to, you know, and so there's need for that. And, I think some of us are trying to sprint towards success, but really where the real success comes is like having a long-term mindset of like, okay, I don't want to just get there tomorrow. I want to be able to sustain this and create a legacy. And so that's where I kind of try to think in my mind, you know, I want to be able to grow something that's wholesome and, you know, is honoring God, honoring family, and all of those things. Let's jump into this really quick, because it's something I'm really interested in hearing about, is parenting. So as I had mentioned, you know, from my perspective, right, it's, you know, there's always like an outsider perspective. I mean, I look at your kids and your family, and I see them, you know, how old is Aiden now? He's 18 or 19. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's 20. Bro.
Okay.
Just like that. Don't blink.
Oh my goodness. So he's 20, but you know, he's obviously like serving in church, and he, from what I see, he loves the Lord. What are some of the things, or what advice would you give to parents who have young kids and that's a concern? I mean, especially I think when you think about the world that we live in, and you know, I think about how, just easily influence, you know, young kids are. And then you add into it just like social media and everything that's going on in our world. It's one of my big concerns is to raise Emmett and Everly, who is coming this month, to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. What advice would you give to parents who have that concern with little kids?
Yeah, it's a great question, man. To God be the glory for anything good. in my kids' lives, my parenting. I'll say that often. That's like my favorite phrase. But again, wisdom from God on how to parent is available to us when we cry out for it. And I know that Leanne and I, my beautiful bride, Leanne is, you know, shout her out. God is good. Got a great wife. We've cried out to the Lord many times in many seasons and all throughout our parenting seasons, which we've gone through a few, right? Like the young parent, new kids, like young kids season, which is kind of crazy. And, you know, mom's tired and every, you know, they need her all the time. She's sleep deprived and et cetera, et cetera. I think at the end of the day, like for us, it's being intentional to value time with them. It's recognizing when my kids are young, like there's a statistic, I believe it was by the Barna Research Group, that 75% of a child's core beliefs are established by the time they're 5 years of age. So for me, I know that there is a super strategic window for my kids when they're 0 to 5 to have established good beliefs and wholesome beliefs, and like that they are valuable, that they are loved, that they have meaning, that they have a voice, that they have unique gifts, that God created them as a masterpiece of his design after his own image and likeness. And developing those gifts and passions inside them and feeding those things and feeding them truth about who God says they are, right? Like Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you in your mommy's womb. I've always told my kids, you have two dads. One of them is perfect, and then I'm the other one. And like, you know, getting them to look to God, because at the end of the day, Psalm 127, verse 4 says, the children of one's youth are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He will not be ashamed when he speaks with his enemy in the gate. So what the Bible teaches us about being a dad or being a mom, if you're a mom listening, is that your children are like arrows. And what do arrows do? Well, they leave the bow and they shoot towards their target. And so I'm shaping arrows. And what I need to do is ask God for his grace, because he made these kids and he trusted me to be their dad and me to be their mom, to shape those arrows, to spend time, you know, roughing out the, you know, sanding out the rough pieces on that shaft so that that shaft can fly straight, sharpening the tip of that arrow so that it can penetrate through the obstacles that would stand in that child's way, working on the fletchings, you know, so that that thing can stay its course, you know. And so like I think about that verse and it leads me to go, God, how did you make this kid? Because I'll tell you what, as a dad of four, every one of my kids is different. Yes, they all look a lot like mom. Yes, they all look a lot like dad. Yes, there are some similarities in their personalities, very similar, you know, in their upbringing and in their nurture, same environment, but they're unique. And so it's spending time getting to know their uniqueness. One of my favorite things I've done to help, you know, grow them is daddy dates. And I heard about this from Brian Moore, good friend of mine, great pastor. Somebody who, in my opinion, we all need a guy that, like Proverbs 27, 17 says, iron sharpens iron. Brian Moore is that. My best friend in life, Jared Mervitz, is that. I learn a lot about how to be a better dad by watching them. And I hope that I've been able to give them some things too. But Brian told me, hey, I read about this thing called daddy dates. And it's where you make sure, like, if you have multiple kids, or even if you have one, you take them out and it's just you and your kid, right? And it's quality time with them. And let me tell you, the amount of daddy dates I've taken with all four kids, I have no way to keep track of. They've been far in number. I wouldn't be able to keep track of them. But I can remember moments within so many of those daddy dates that were crucial moments. And a lot of times we would do something fun, go somewhere they like to go, you know, whether that's just to the park or throwing the football or maybe go eat somewhere. But I would ask them intentional questions. And these questions would just be amazingly helpful for me to discover, hey, this is something my kid is going through in this season. This is something I can pray for them about right now. Or, hey, I've actually been in this season that you're in, buddy, like with Aiden, you know, with whether it's a girl thing, you know, and all of that stuff. And like, there are things, there are stories that I've lived that I can share with them, even failures and mistakes I've made that I can teach them. And those daddy dates, those consecrated times in my schedule, have yielded such great reward. And my wife does the same thing. She takes them out and does mommy dates. So if you're a female business owner, you're a mom, do the same thing. I would say bedtime questions is also a great thing that we've done when they're little. That really helps. Bedtime is huge. Read to them and then ask them a few questions. What was your favorite part of today? What was the hardest part of today? Is there anything that you want me to pray with you about? And sometimes I would ask them funny questions, like, what was the funniest part of today? Because kids love to laugh and they remind us to laugh and not take ourselves too seriously, right? I think there's a reason Jesus said, unless you are like a child, you're not going to see the kingdom of God, right? So, but fun questions, you know, and I would just encourage reading with your kids, doing bedtime questions, try to make it a habit to do it every night. They're going to ask you to do it. They start loving it and they're looking forward to it. And when they're young and little, those times are so pivotal in formation and trust. And I think it's those little disciplines that add up over time, where now my son's 20 and he just sent me his resume today and he asked me to look at it and he's asking me for advice. And I feel so honored that he even wants my advice. I'm like, yeah, let me look at that for you, son. And I think a whole life of him just knowing that he had access to talk to his dad, has built up that trust and that relationship. And he loves God, and he's got, I look up to him in many ways. You know, he's an amazing
That's
young man.
good. Yeah. What I pulled, just one word that I pulled from what you're talking about with marriage and then also with your kids is the word intentional, right? So it takes us being intentional. I don't, I think what you're saying is like when it comes down to it, of course you're not perfect, as a dad, but I think when we are intentional in how we're approaching that relationship, I think that maybe is what speaks to our kids more than necessarily being like perfect in every way. And I mean, you could answer me on this. Do you ever, or have you ever had seasons where you felt like, you had to like, because you hear about like pastors' kids or kids in Christians' families like being forced to go to church or like forced to read the Bible. Do you think that that was like ever needed, or was that ever your approach, or was it always like trying to approach it from like a we're going to live as an example, we're going to be intentional and relationship or relational, and then hope that they just cling to that?
It's a great question, man. I think at the end of the day, my job as a parent is to help my kid choose the best for him, or her. I have three daughters and a son, and we've tried to help them choose what's best. When they're young, they don't have the ability to do that. They need us to help choose for them. But as they grow and as they mature, us giving away, why do we do this? Why do we brush our teeth? Let me tell you why we choose to brush our teeth in the morning and brush our teeth at night. You know that, you know, and getting them to choose it because it's going to be good for them. And we have actually imparted the knowledge and the value and the why behind these things. Why do we go to church? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we talk to God? Why do we pray? Why do we do all these things? And I think what's cool is we've never forced them. As
That's
far as
good.
I can recall, you know, Leanne's going to watch this and she'll fact check me. My wife doesn't care. But I can't think of of a time when it was like, no, you don't want to go to church? Too bad, you're going. Maybe that happened once or twice. And at the end of the day, as a parent, I do need to choose what's best for my kid, even if they're not capable of choosing. So don't get me wrong, I'm not just totally passive as a parent, but I think that their leadership is influence, is leveraging our influence. And at the end of the day, leading a business is good, but man, we got to lead our marriage and lead our families well, and leading them to want to choose it. Just like you want your employee to not be forced to do the job the way you're doing it. You want them to see why you did it that way, why it's important, why there's value, like a paycheck and, you know, all those things and job security, and to choose to do a good job even when you're not there. And so I think that's the same thing with our kids, is like my kids have chosen to follow God and come to church and serve at church. I mean, all of my kids serve. My 9-year-old daughter was like a year ago going, I want to help at church. I don't want to just go to church, Dad. And we never told her to do that. She saw it modeled. She saw the value of why we serve communicated from her mom and from me. And then she wanted to choose it for herself. And that's been the same thing with all of our kids. And so, by the grace of God, they're not like the notorious pastor's kids. They actually love God. And I think I've taken that pressure off them, not like, hey, you have to because you're my kid and people are going to think I'm a bad pastor if you don't want to go to church. I don't put that pressure on them. I let them be normal kids and let them choose to follow God. And I think you said it, Brandon, just to volley back to you. The word intention and the word that kept coming up in my heart and even in my spirit, I just feel like God is saying, choose. Like you have a choice. I think the biggest lie the devil tells us sometimes is you don't have a choice. You're a slave to this job. You're a slave to other people's demands. You just got to suck it up, buttercup, and drop your shoulder. No. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. We actually have a choice to say, God, I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to put my family first, and my business is going to be blessed because I'm choosing to trust you rather than to be a slave to the opinions and desires and demands of men. Because the Bible teaches us that when we fear the Lord and when we walk in a way that pleases the Lord, he'll make even our enemies to be at peace with us. And so you do have a choice. And you do get to choose what you're going to be intentional about. And I'm so thankful for that, that I don't have to be passive and just take it, but I can actually direct my life in a way to choose Jesus and to follow him and watch him give me the bravery and the courage to make the good choices that are going to cause my whole life to be lived well, not just when I'm on the ladder working in the business, but I can come off of it and I can work on me and the things that matter. So.
Yeah, that's really good. I want to be respectful of your time. We just have a few more minutes. And I wanted to ask this question. Maybe somebody's listening to this and they feel like they haven't lived up to that. Maybe they feel like they're not doing well in their marriage. Maybe they feel like they're not being a good parent or, covering the home front very well. What kind of advice would you give to that person to help them take, some actionable steps to get on the right path and to fix that foundation so that, they can thrive in that area and help them to also thrive as a business owner and grow and scale their business.
That's a great question. I would give you Philippians 3:13 first.
That's
Paul
a good.
says, he says, not that I've already attained it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on to lay hold of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's not just for our spiritual walk, but that's so important. You have to have the ability to forget your failures without forgetting the lessons that they've taught you. So what if you're here today and you're listening right now and you feel like I haven't done it right? There's grace. God's grace, he's a God of endless second chances. And he wants to help us when we are in a place where we're recognizing I need to change course. I need to change the way I'm thinking and living and directing my life. And so what I have to do is forget the past. Don't forget the lessons, but forget the past and press on it. Actually, just start today. Literally win the day. That's like my phrase this year in 2024. If I want to have a good 2024 and look back and say my marriage grew, my relationship with my kids grew, my business grew, my character and my leadership grew, and I grew as a person, I'm not going to get there if I don't try to win the day first and foremost, and then just do that 366 days because it's a leap year, right? Win the day. Like, start today. Do something today to pour into your walk with God. Maybe just open up your Bible and just start praying. Like, I wouldn't even care if they shut off the podcast, and I know you wouldn't care either. And just like, right now, I'm going to talk to the Lord and say, God, I need your help. Tonight, spend some time at bedtime with your kids. Take a day off of work this week. Maybe you have been working 7 days a week, maybe, or next week, or plan a day this month where you can start going, this is a protected day to work on me, my walk with God, my marriage, my family, my goals, and just start changing some things. So you got to forget what's behind you. You got to know there's grace for today and try to win the day would be my best encouragement. And get around people who can help you get better in the areas where you're not. I am so thankful for the people in my life who are good at what I'm not. It's like Adrian and Rocky, right? And Rocky was with the trainer, and the trainer was like, hey, you like this girl, Adrian, right? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, what do you like about it? He's like, I don't know, gaps. He's like, gaps, what do you mean gaps? He's like, gaps, I got gaps, he got gaps, we fill each other's gaps. And apologies for the terrible Rocky impersonation, but there are people who are strong where you're weak. And they're probably, if they care about you, they'll probably be honored that you ask them for help and advice. And so, I try to live that way where I'm asking people who are good at what I'm not. I'm constantly learning, I'm constantly growing. Your potential is infinite if you are connected to God, who is infinite, he's measureless. So don't just kick yourself. Just start moving forward in your potential, and God's got you, man. He's got enough grace for you. It would be my encouragement.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And 2022 is one of the hardest years that I ever faced as a business owner. And there were a couple of things that I learned, and they're things that you just stated. And one is, like, you have to be humble, right? You have to be able to just say, hey, you know what? I am messing up, right? And if I'm gonna get this right, I need to make some choices and admit that I'm not where I need to be. And until you humble yourself, it's really hard to make those corrections. And, you know, when I was going through that challenging time, another thing that I would tell myself is, you know, in all transparency, I thought my business was going to fail. I thought I was going to have to file for bankruptcy. It was an ugly time for my business. But I told myself, if I can just make it through tomorrow, if I can just win tomorrow, I'll be okay.
It's
If I can just survive tomorrow and make it another day, I made it another day. And so I would just stack up those wins, right? So it was like, today is really hard, but if I can get through today and not give up and not quit, okay. Well, now I'm just going to do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And just told myself I'm going to keep myself humble and continue to grow. And so, you know, I went through that really challenging season and to where like now I'm like made it through that and things are good again. And it's funny. But so yeah, starting with today, win the day. And then another thing I like that you said was getting people around you. One of the smartest things I did is at the end of 2022, I hired a business coach. And you know, I was like, I can't do this on my own. I've made a lot of mistakes. I don't know how to fix it. I've got to get somebody who's been where I want to be and, you know, listen to what they tell me to do and not think that I can do it all on my own. And so hiring a business coach was one of the smartest things I've ever done. So if you're listening to this, I hope that you've been encouraged by what Pastor Chris has had to say. I hope that you feel hope for your future. For your business, for your family, and for all that God has in store for you. If you are listening to this and you've been encouraged, please like this if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel so you can see future videos. If you're watching on app or if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please rate and review the show. That'll help us to reach more people and encourage people with this show. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Off the Ladder podcast.